Previously on Improv Sucks.
My name's Tom Simmermaker. Moved here from Memphis in 2016. I didn't move here for improv only, but I moved here because of improv. In 2015, so summer before I graduated college, I came up into the IO 5-week summer intensive. And I had been doing largely short form, but just improv in general at my college. It's called Rhodes College in Memphis. And I loved it, but that's about all I knew. I never really had, you know, a teacher. We didn't really have a coach. You always had the seniors who would kind of show you the way of the shows, but they were very specific to the small school I went to. So yeah, just kind of had my, you know, improv mind blown that summer of 2015. I guess backtracking, the summer before I did just like a super intensive 10-day thing at Second City with my friend Paul. Came up and stayed in a hostel.
Oh,
and that like started the engine, but we didn't learn a ton. You know, we stayed in a hostel.
Zap.
Exactly. You know, we zip, zap, zopped, and then we used our fakes in Chicago. So
yeah, great.
Well, I did. And Paul didn't have one. And we both tried to go to a bar, and I got mine taken. So that was 2014. Yeah.
Incredible.
But really fell in love with it that summer of 2015 and had the coolest class. There were 16 of us, only six of us from the States. So it was an amazing exploration of like improv's emotional power, just because there was truly a language barrier between a lot of us. Like everybody spoke English, but lots of people were English second language, and it was just the coolest. There were like 10 people from places I'd never been, like Estonia. Gosh, those guys were so amazing. There were three of them. One of them wore a swimsuit for the entire intensive because he didn't want to pack a lot and he knew it was versatile.
Wow.
Yeah, his name's Silver. If he finds this, there's a possibility he might. He loves improv, but Silver's amazing. But yeah, that summer really
like
did it
trunks,
for me.
Not trunks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Walking around in a
tuxedo. No one piece. No tankini. No. This was, these were some sick bathing suit shorts that you could turn into normal ones.
Gotcha. So this is interesting to me. So like there has to be something that introduced Second City or Chicago as an idea to you being in Memphis. What introduced that idea is this is even a thing you can do?
A theater professor there who all but owned the theater department. Her name was, gosh, I'm gonna butcher, Teresa Ewing? No, Julia Ewing. She went by Cookie, so I know her as Cookie. Cookie's incredible, has a deep love for improvisation from like an acting perspective and from a comedic perspective. And Cookie always told me about these people, Sand, that she knew. Because Thomas Kelly went to Rhodes College in Memphis.
There you go.
Right.
So Thomas and Mike Brunley came down my sophomore year and did a workshop.
Oh,
I mean, what else do you need?
The legend
they had to have blown your fucking
they did.
Mind
yeah, they
at
were
that
assistants.
Point.
They 100% did. Yeah. They're so good. They taught a workshop with us, with our team, and opened up something to the entire campus and then did like a little show themselves. And they're just so fucking nice. Like,
True. Oh
my gosh. They told me all about Chicago, and I was like, I had a million questions, and I actually ended up messaging Mike about like what I should do. Mike and Thomas, I believe. And they suggested the CIC summer intensive, and I signed up for it. And then that year, it was early enough on that not enough people signed up for it. So I was messaging Farrell. He was so nice, and I had no idea who he was. I was messaging him from Memphis, and he's like, you know, this didn't work out, but you know, here are some other things you can do. So blah, blah, blah. Ended up moving here permanently in 2016 and just started doing the IO program again just to get right back into it. And then, I honestly came to one of the mixers. Like, it was one of my very first things back, like, after the summer falling in love with both Chicago and improv. It's not hard to love Chicago when you're here for 5 weeks living for free on your cousin's couch.
Yeah.
Studying
especially
improv every day.
Improv. Yeah, especially in the summertime.
Yes.
Yes.
So. Yeah, that's really my story. And then I've just been doing it since I moved here, and mm-hmm. you know, had the usual expected ups and downs with it, but
yeah.
I still love it, and it still challenges me every single time I do it. So
yeah. Did you, so you did the IO program after doing the intensive?
Yes.
Cool. Did you do anything at like Second City or Annoyance or anything?
CIC, as far as classes go, no.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I've really wanted to. Honestly, at any of those places and all of those places, I've had like mega interest. I just, after doing IO and then got lucky and was put on a team, I just didn't want to fill another night up.
Totally, yeah.
For a while.
Also, it costs money.
Yeah, it, for sure.
Yeah.
But I did some workshops, which have been fun. And then, yeah, I feel like I've learned the most by just watching a lot. But
cool.
Yeah, it was cool doing the intensive and then doing the full program. It was interesting to really feel how different those felt because they're supposed to be the same thing in different time frames.
What did you feel was like a major difference between those two experiences?
Truly sticking with the same class for all five lessons during the summer intensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's something special you don't always get with your mm-hmm. classes. People mm-hmm. try to stick together and you might get lucky and have all five with one or two people who become really good friends of yours, but in the intensive, we were group three. That's who you were with for those 5 weeks. So that, just that chemistry that we found by the end of it really benefited us when it came to the goofier stuff or the game lessons. It was a lot easier to just start learning how to have dumb, stupid fun with Matt Higby when we didn't have to learn each other's names, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a big difference. And I just found it so amazing to just really feel like I was studying it. Not that I wasn't when I came back, but having like a full-time job
mm-hmm.
along with it, it's less easy to feel like you're a student of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and get hyped about it in the classroom in the same way that you do after you're maybe tired after a work day.
Yeah, so. Doing something once a week is like, it's really easy for it to become an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm Kat McGee. I guess, well, so I grew up in West Virginia and I moved here going into junior high. But in West Virginia, my first exposure to improv really was Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then, and my family was like obsessed with that show and we would watch it. And sometimes my brothers and I would sneak it when we were supposed to be in bed. You know, Rebels.
UK version, American version, which one?
The American version.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. I actually didn't know there was a UK version until many years later. But yeah, then when I moved here, because I wasn't really like involved in theater or anything like that back in West Virginia, it was more just like focused on sports and moving to Chicago. We lived in a suburb. There was just a lot more opportunity that was opened up to us. And so mm-hmm. that's when like I started getting like a little taste for like being on stage, but nothing really improv until, well, actually for my 16th and 17th birthday, I convinced my parents to let me like go downtown and see the Deltones.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was at their old space right by like the Salt and Pepper Diner.
Oh yeah.
So we would go to the Salt and Pepper Diner and then like go over. It was very fun. But then my senior year, my high school, one of my directors decided to do an improv show. And I think he had done it the year before, but I wasn't really paying attention much mm-hmm. to it. But then my senior year, when he decided to do it, a couple of my friends, we were like, yeah, let's like audition. Thought I had the worst audition of my life, but it was one of those where I walked out and I was like, oh, I wanted it so badly.
Yeah.
And I did horribly. And I was shocked to see my name on the list. But that whole, I mean, it was like, I think we had like a month and a half of rehearsals where it was just like improv after school for 2 hours.
Wow.
And got really close with the cast and got a really like good taste of improv and fell in love with it. And so when I got to college, I auditioned for Titanic Players, did not get in, and did not get in again when I auditioned. And so I think for a while I was like, well, like maybe that's not my thing and I'll like go do something else. And forever, my mom was like, oh, like, while you're in school, since, because I went to Northwestern. So she mm-hmm. was like, you're right by the city. You should just go and do, like, Second City or, like, one of those other improv programs. And I just was always like, no.
Yeah.
Too much money. Like, I don't want to travel away from school to, like, go downtown because mm-hmm. the city is scary. I don't know how to navigate it.
Hop right off the red line.
Right, like, oh God. Brutal. I mean, I had to switch lines, you know? Like,
the purple to the red. Oh, yeah.
Really complicated for my 18-year-old mind.
Yeah.
A whole new world. But then when I graduated and I moved into the city, I was like, I had a handful of friends who had done the IO program while we were in school, and they spoke very highly of it. And so I decided to sign up and did one, like the first level, and did not really click with my class, did not really click with my teacher, just felt like he just was doing it because it was a money thing and not really, he didn't really like instill any sort of like community or passion, all the things that like make improv really great, just like wasn't there in the class. And so I decided to not continue forward for an entire year. And with IO, it was like, if you went and like beyond a year, you'd have to like repeat a level.
Right? Oh,
and
wow.
So the only reason why I signed up for level 2 when I did was because it was the year mark. And I was like, I am not paying for level 1 again.
Can't lose this credit through this fake institution.
Yeah. So I feel like after level 2, basically all the other levels that I signed up for, it was like, if you were not at your computer at 11 a.m., you did not get in. And I'm pretty sure I like signed up 3 days late because I was like on vacation. I was like, oh crap, I have to sign up for this improv class. And so I ended up, I think it was like one of two classes, and it was like a male teacher and a woman teacher. And I was like, I'm not doing the man again. I'm going to go with this woman is Jessica Rogers, and I freaking loved her. Yeah. And she really, I mean, level 2 was like, from what I heard from other classes, she really ran level 2 a lot differently than a lot of the other classes. And we just like constantly did scene work, and she really created this community within that class. And that's actually where I met Kyle, one of our teammates. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then after that, I was like, every time it came time for another level, I signed up, and here we are.
That's awesome.
Here we are now.
The bug bit you.
So you met Kyle in that class.
Yeah.
How'd your class collide?
Yeah, so I met Kyle in level 2. Then Kyle wasn't in my level 3. That's where I met Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So then Tom and I were in level 3 together. And then we signed up for level 4, and Kyle came back to level 4.
Nice.
Had to miss a class in level 4, so I subbed a different class. And that's where I met Miranda, because I subbed into her class. And
wow.
And, like, in a subbed class, like, I wasn't really paying attention to people's names or anything, but she, like, stuck out to me, and I was like, dang, this girl's awesome.
Yeah.
And then level 5 happened, and she ended up in that class. So I, like, went up to her, and I was like, hey, I, like, subbed that one class. And she's like, oh, yeah, I remember you. And so then that's how we, like, all became friends.
We did a few, like, shows as a class, just signed up for some, like, jam-type things or shows where we could easily get a two-week run, something like that. And that was fun with probably a group of 8 to 10 of us, depending on who showed up.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of stuck together and kept chatting, and then sort of on a whim, signed up for Cage Match after having one other show.
Yeah, because so essentially Tom and Kyle moved forward to 5Bs, and Miranda and I stayed behind because I tore my ACL.
I totally forgot about that whole
switch. I tore my ACL, and I also had to get vocal surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it was a rough summer, and I was like, I don't think I could do improv on with those two
very specific things.
Can't move, can't talk. And then Miranda was going on she was visiting her sister in Spain at the time. So she was like really sad that she was going to not be able to move on. And I was really sad. And then we realized that we both weren't moving on. So we ended up deciding to sign up together. So we kind of, Kyle and Tom stuck together, and me and Miranda stuck together. And then it was, I think right after we had finished, me and Miranda had finished our 5B shows, that the four of us kind of were talking, and we decided to form a team together. And then we did what's it?
Chucklefuckers?
Chucklefuckers.
Was that our first?
Yeah, Chucklefuckers at Annoyance. And then Kyle signed us up for Cage Match, and then
we loved each other, but I sure didn't feel like we were ready to compete. You know, and that's all I knew of the show. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Second show with like maybe a rehearsal or two in between, and we ended up staying there for 4.5 months.
Can you believe that?
Wow, that's so it became bananas. This thing that we like, it was such an accident. We fell into the longest run any of us have ever had.
That's the best case scenario for something that's like an improv competition.
Right. Right. Like,
we didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Total accident.
Yeah. God, yeah. Stakes were so low.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but
four and a half months. Isn't that Saturday at midnight?
It's Wednesday at 10:30.
Oh, it starts at 10:40. That's worse. You might not get on stage till 10:50 or later.
Yeah. Like, consistently just did not. Thursday was always such a wash of a day for 4 months. Yeah.
It was really exciting
to work
for us,
and be like,
too.
Because
we were, like, confused why it kept happening, and then we started having friends come, and then it became less of a mystery why it kept happening, but it still kept happening.
Also, okay, so my parents, they're very supportive. They came to every show, and very supportive. We love them, but... Yeah,
we also
I was
paid
told
them massive amounts.
Yeah,
of money.
Huge amounts. But I was told by my parents that some of our friends would vote like against us. Like I had a friend who would come. She's like, "Oh no, I'm voting for whoever I think is best."
Yeah,
my and cousin, even with that, like,
we still won.
It's like nice. truly a wild time.
What was it like to finally lose?
Oh, it was a bittersweet moment.
It's also hilarious.
Yeah, so essentially, we competed against a friend of mine's team, and they were a Northwestern Titanic team, and they were seniors, and so they brought basically everyone from Northwestern down.
This was a quote-unquote big deal for them.
We almost sold it out, like, or maybe we did. Like,
it was packed.
Almost not an empty seat in one of the upstairs theaters for a coach match. Yeah.
Yeah, it was packed, and we competed, and they won, but then after the show, my friend came up to me and he was like, "Ooh, yeah, we definitely stuffed the ballot, and y'all should have won. Also, we're all moving away from Chicago in 2 weeks, and so we can't continue." So we were like, "What?
You ever gonna go back? Is that allowed?"
We've there's been opportunity. Like, there's been an opportunity or two that, like, just didn't happen, more so because we're slow on response time in our group text.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's like a...
What a beautiful life it lived.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was
it had its moment, and it's great. But also, like, I feel like for me, it's like it'd be fun to do it one more time. But, like, the potential of us having to do it multiple weeks in a row again is just, like, not really appealing.
Because that's so funny.
Yeah, it was, like, a sad night when we lost. But then the next day when I woke up, or it was the next Wednesday when I was like, "Oh, my God, it's 8 p.m. and I can just go to bed."
Yeah.
It was such a gift. It was really a gift.
Beautiful.
Wow, you really did, like, in the most low stakes way, got the longest. It's such a wild story.
Yeah, and that's how we all got to know
much
each other.
Better,
yeah.
I'm sure, because of
that. Oh, yeah.
Also, it's not a thing where you're like, "Oh, I had to pay this theater to, like, get a run."
Yeah.
Like, that we had to plan and produce and get an audience to. Like, so lucky.
Right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. We have a tech guy every week, and we don't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
We just have to show up and say, "Hi, Joe, we're here."
Yeah.
You're not producing it at all.
Which Joe should get a shout out. He's amazing.
Yeah,
and so
Joe's
is Mike,
awesome.
Who was still doing the show when we were doing it. They were awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they were a great duo to get to meet. And
yeah.
It's cool. But yeah, it's so weird doing this show without a coach.
Yeah.
You know, we'd never been coached. We were just, like, kind of checking in after each other, like,
"Are we doing okay?"
Like,
yeah, we'd meet up after the show and be like, "What worked and what didn't?"
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe try to do differently next week. I don't know. But I don't know. The nice structure of that show is also that Joe came up with these, like, awesome challenges every week. So I think it really also pushed us to, like, step outside of our comfort zone. And it wasn't like we had a 4.5 week run where we just did montages the whole time. It was like we constantly were being challenged. And I think over the 4.5 months, there were exactly 4 challenges that one of us had to, like, step out not knowing what we were being targeted for. And so, like, Tom, at one point when he stepped out, he had to be, like, an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to switch teams. Kyle
that
did
was a fun one.
Yeah. Kyle did, like, a Groundhog Day challenge where he was the only person who was aware that scenes were repeating themselves.
That's so fun.
And then,
it was probably a great opportunity for them too, because usually they're like, "Well, we could redo a challenge because both the teams are new," but you guys kept on their
time. I know.
kept
showing up.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. Wow. If you don't mind, I'm going to gracefully transition.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked a lot about how much you guys love improv and why you guys started to do it. It obviously, like, brought you some very close friends and an awesome experience, like, awesome experiences. But in your time doing improv, is there anything that you've learned you think sucks about it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like people tend to put a lot of stake into, I don't know, improv and like the status of improv, when at the root of it all, we're just literally making it up on stage. I have a friend of mine who like doesn't really like to go see improv because she just is like, improv sucks most of the time. But as a performer, like, I feel like going into that being like, yeah, most improv sucks, like, it ends up taking a lot of like the pressure off of it. But I feel like, I don't know, I felt this a lot at various different levels of the classes that I took at IO, that there were some people who really went into it like putting all of their identity into their performance, when at the end of the day, it's like really not that big of a deal if you like screw up on stage. I don't know. I think I think that's one of the reasons why I like our team, is because I think we all kind of go into it just like very low stakes and just wanting to have fun with each other. And if somebody screws up, somebody covers and it's fine, you know? But yeah, I think the improv sucks realm tends to be more of like the stake that people put into something that really doesn't deserve.
Mm-hmm. And that can be that. So exhausting. Like, yeah. I've definitely done that. I've been really hard on myself.
Yeah.
About like making mistakes in improv after the fact. But that's that's like a lot of work to put yourself through.
Yeah.
When you like can't change the scene you just did.
Yeah. Well, especially too, when I feel like there's a decent amount of people who don't do improv that appreciate and come to shows for improv. Yeah. And like any of my friends who've come who like have never stepped foot on a stage, they don't really pay attention to like what was good or what was bad. They're more focusing on like, wow, I literally could never
do
that.
Yeah.
And keeping that into perspective of like, oh, actually this is a skill, even if like you constantly are failing, that is a skill that people like, the skill of failing and being okay with it is like,
really
is a great skill to have.
It's somewhere between,
you know,
like lies somewhere between bravado and idiocy, right? Like, how foolish we all are to step out on stage without knowing what we're about to say and just do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, totally.
And expect it to go well.
Right. Yes. Who came up with that? And everybody's like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, let's do more of that. Yikes. Yeah.
I think what sucks about it for me, at least right now, is I almost feel like I have to return to a classroom setting for it to be just pure enjoyment and play again, which is what like I originally chased when I was doing it, because it always has made me nervous. Like, even in a classroom setting, I still get like jittery, but I love that because it's like a direct way to face it. And if you're getting self-conscious like during an improv set, you're probably not going to be that great of a scene partner to your other people. So it's like this real way to just like force yourself, you know, to just be out there, like be vulnerable, maybe suck, maybe do awesome, and like sit in it. I think that gets complicated when you leave the classroom setting, because all of a sudden you're worried about the success of it. And that means different things for different people. For some people, it's, I need to be funny tonight. For other people, it's, I want the audience to enjoy themselves. And then there's like, obviously, you know, that Venn diagram has a huge overlap in between. But I found that like, no matter what, and it's especially heightened when I have like family in town or like friends who haven't seen it very much. I want them to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then that shouldn't, you know, me wanting them to enjoy it shouldn't make it so hard for me to still have a good time and do a good job on stage, you know?
Yeah.
But it does, it's tough.
The act of being like, I want this to go well, is the thing that makes it the worst show you've ever seen.
Yes.
Exactly.
So disappointing.
Yeah.
That thing you want to control that you have really little control over.
Sometimes. Right. And it's
most
like,
of the time.
You're taught so much in class to just like, they force you to fail. And I love that part of it.
Yeah.
And I still do like in shows. And I find that joy. It's just, I have to like, it's honestly kind of pathetic in some ways, but after shows, I usually just have to force myself to not reconsider like the mistakes I made or the accidents I caused, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just have to be like, nah,
think about
I was here with
friends.
Right. And like, get over yourself. Like, look at Kat and just be like, oh my God, Kat made me crack up tonight. That's what matters, you know? And that's how it works, is because you do that all to each other and then you actually can't get over it. But yeah, the classroom verse kind of going into like a run of shows thing is just so interesting to me, because it's like you get so pumped after you learn to speak, but then all of a sudden you have to give a speech.
You know,
and you're like, you're like, oh, this, I can't just say blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, go, like,
please actually do more of this.
Yeah, see? And that'd be a good speech because everyone would listen. So.
That's true.
Which is so true for the shows. Like, even if it's really crappy opening, if people have never seen improv, they're at least going to lean in when you're like, blah, 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 like, we are, you know, gophers. Like, they might not laugh, but.
Yeah, they'll be interested.
Yeah,
and maybe you'll make each other laugh.
For sure.
Yeah.
If I see people having fun, I'm so much more likely to have fun.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's always a thing I think I hang my hat on.
Yeah.
This isn't about me. It's about you.
But yeah, improv sucks.
Totally.
It's so weird. Do you guys feel that way about it? Or do you just get exhausted with it ever? Like, and just like, today, I'm not.
Yeah.
And then you have fun later.
I think that definitely, I mean, the reason that we talk about this every week in this framework is because, like, it's like the things that we love about it so, so much are also like truly, there's a flip side to all of them that can be so detrimental in like other ways. Like, I feel like that thing of like, I want this to be good is something that like motivates me to be like, I'm always learning, I'm taking this seriously, I will do better next time. But it's also the part of it that like makes me so sad and stressed and like fail in different ways. But yeah, definitely. I get absolutely sick of improv.
We don't have nearly enough time
to get into
to unpack all of the complicated emotions. I'm like, I think if you listened to all of the episodes we've ever chatted about it, we might start getting a glimpse as to the complicated relationship that you can have with this thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, here's this art form that like, it means a lot to people, but should it?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know,
it
like we do
no
hang our identities
rules,
on this fucking thing.
Yeah.
But like, you want to be chill and you want your shows to go well and you want to take control over them when they're going awry.
Yeah.
But the more you do that, sometimes the less fun you have.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a puzzle.
Yeah.
But it's so cheesy sounding, but it is true that at the end of the day, if it were not for improv, and I mean the biggest umbrella that we can get, like just general improv, I would not have met half the people that
totally.
I want to see every
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if not more than that, you know, and that rules.
And what's
that is
cool
so
about
cool.
that is that that alone is enough for like people to keep doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many people do this for that very reason.
Yeah.
Just like the community of it, the friends they make,
the
fun that they have, knowing that it really, at the end of the day, amounts to nothing.
Yeah.
And people aren't really benefiting from it, except for in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, there is, like, a high to it. When you have, like, a really good show that you walk away and you're like, hell yeah, that was awesome. I was connected to my team. I was connected to the audience. But, like, knowing the recognition that everything that you did in that show can't be repeated is, like, probably one of the most frustrating things about improv is, like, there's no equation to, like, what makes a good show work every single week.
Yeah.
Because,
right.
You know, so it's like you walk away and you're like, that was awesome, let's do it again. And then the next week sucks. And you're like, wait, what? I thought we had to figure it out.
Yeah.
Or like you're
like
out one week. And
the same state.
Right.
You come back after missing like a week and everyone's like, oh, you missed a good one.
Know,
it's just like,
and
oh.
Like, and you're like, how about this week be a good one?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Improv Sucks is recorded live every Monday in the heart of Boys Town, Chicago, USA, at The Mixer. The Mixer is a hyper-inclusive improv workshop and jam. Every week, we find some of Chicago's finest performers to teach a workshop and improvise right along with you. Come on by the playground on Monday nights at 8 p.m. to join in on the fun. Many thanks to the people who helped make this show. Morgan for editing and co-hosting, Ian Williams for producing the music. Big props to the Nerdalogs for technical production and website hosting. Seriously, the show wouldn't be possible without them. All of their shows are supported by great people like yourself on Patreon. Seriously, if you love independent media, consider tossing them a buck a month. If everyone that listened chipped in, they'd be able to support more shows just like this one. Thanks.
Take two.
You want a second one? Mm-hmm. All right. Improv Sucks is recorded live every Monday in the heart of Boys Town, Chicago, USA at The Mixer. The Mixer is a hyper-inclusive improv workshop and jam. Every week, we find some of Chicago's finest performers to teach a workshop and improvise right along with you. Come on by the playground on Monday nights at 8 p.m. to join in on the fun. Many thanks to the people who helped make this show. Morgan for editing and co-hosting. Ian Williams for producing the music. Big props to the Nerdalogs for technical production and website hosting, namely Eric Garneau. Hey, Eric. The show wouldn't be possible without them. All of their shows are supported by great people like yourself on Patreon. Seriously, if you love independent media, consider tossing them a buck a month. If everybody that listened chipped in, they'd be able to support more shows just like this one. Thanks.
Good!
Yay!
Yay!
Under the bridge.
We're so excited.